You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Khususan ala Sayyidi Rasuli wa Khatim al-Anbiya wa ala alihi al-Askiya wa ashabihi al-Atqiya amma ba'd. As a part of our Ramadan reflections, we have been discussing some great incidents that took place in the month of Ramadan and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to Muslims on the front of the battlefield as well in this blessed month. And majority of the incidents that we will discuss, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given victory to a small group of people who believed in Allah over a large group of people who were fooled by numbers, who thought the way to be victorious in the battlefield was through numbers. And one of these incidents was the conquest of Al-Andalus, or Muslim Spain. The Khalifa of the time, his name was Walid bin Abdul Malik. And Walid bin Abdul Malik, during his Khilafah, he had placed as the ruler of Africa, the northern part of Africa, an individual by the name of Musa bin Nusayr. Musa bin Nusayr. Now we're going to come back to Musa bin Nusayr in a moment. Now at the time, 86 years after Hijrah had passed by. It had been 86 years after migration. And within Spain, there was an internal war going on. They were having a civil war. Between them, there were some disagreements, some arguments. Two parties came around. There was a lot of misunderstandings, fighting back and forth. And the people of Spain were kind of fed up with a lot of oppression that was taking place within their country. So one of the two parties reached out to the Muslim leader, Musa bin Nusayr, and he said to him that we see that you guys just south of us in Tangiers, you guys have such a beautiful country and such a beautiful community set up, such a beautiful environment you guys have placed within your society, that we are so amazed, we would like for you guys to come and help us as well. Now, they weren't actually saying for the Muslims to come and rule them, but they wanted some help from the Muslims. So Musa bin Nusayr, he wrote a letter to Walid bin Abdul Malik. And Walid bin Abdul Malik, he gave permission to Musa bin Nusayr, saying, I give you permission, do as you wish. So Musa bin Nusayr, he had one slave of his, who had been freed some time back. Some time ago, Musa bin Nusayr had freed the slave of his and placed him as a governor in Tangiers. And this slave of his, freed slave now, he wasn't a slave any longer, this individual, his name was Tariq bin Ziyad. Okay, and this individual, Tariq bin Ziyad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his grave with mercy, was such an instrumental individual in the conquest of Spain and for Islam to grow its wings all the way to, you know, Andalus as well for hundreds of years to come. Now this Tariq bin Ziyad, what he did was, he realized that Muslims had never gone north of Africa. Europe was outside their boundary. They had never gone there before. The weather was different, the land was different, the people were different, everything was different. So 91 years after Hijrah, he sent a group of people in the month of Ramadan. He sent a group of people to go out to Spain and scout the area. Go and check it out. So this group of people, they came in and they searched everywhere. They looked around. They were just observing and making sure they understood how the landscape was, where the mountains were, where the valleys were, where the water was, where the towns were, where the farms were, where the forests were. They scouted the entire area. They came back and they gave the entire report to Tariq bin Ziyad. Now, since Tariq bin Ziyad now finally has an understanding of the landscape of Spain, what he did was, he took permission from his leader, Musa bin Nusayr, and he took with him an army. And this army, they boarded their ships and they sailed in the direction of Spain. And he very strategically chose a mountain to place his army on. And that mountain where Tariq bin Ziyad brought his soldiers to and where they camped and where he gave his very famous speech, today is known as, anyone know? Gibraltar, right? Or in Arabic we call it Jabal Tariq, the mountain of Tariq bin Ziyad. Now when Tariq bin Ziyad came in, he only had 6,000 soldiers. How many? 6,000 soldiers, which was a very, very small number. However, the Khalifa of the time, he sent reinforcements after that, and he sent another 6,000 soldiers. So altogether, Tariq bin Ziyad now had how many soldiers? 12,000 soldiers. And when he arrived on this mountain, and when his soldiers arrived in position, ready for their conquest or starting their journey, it was the month of Ramadan, 92 years after migration, and it was the day of Friday. And Tariq bin Ziyad gave a very beautiful historical speech. Now, it's said, many people, they claim a story at this point. They say that Tariq bin Ziyad, what he did was he burnt the ships on which he came. You guys heard that story before? And the reason why he burnt the ships was so that people would know that there was nowhere to run anymore. His soldiers would know that now they either had to go in the battlefield and fight, or they were going to die, so they had no choice anymore. This is something that's been disputed by the scholars themselves. Many scholars, they say, and this is a very large group of scholars, they say, that there was no such incident of Tariq bin Ziyad ever burning those ships. Because there are two narrations who those ships belong to. We all know they didn't belong to Tariq bin Ziyad. There are two narrations of who they belong to. One narration is that it belongs to the Christian Spaniards who called them in. Those who invited them for help, it belonged to them. He did not have the right to burn their ship if it didn't belong to them. The second opinion is that it belonged to the Khilafah, Walid bin Abdul Malik. And if they belonged to Walid bin Abdul Malik, also he did not have permission to burn the property that belonged to the Khilafah. When you read the Muslim sources that talk about this history, this part of history, Islam in Spain, they do not mention the incident of any ships being burnt. Wallahu alam, it's very possible, but the history shows, the sources show that this incident does not have much reality to it. Wallahu alam as-salam. Now, Tariq bin Ziyad, he very carefully places his army into position. And this was very important, the place he chose for the battlefield. Because he had 12,000 soldiers, but how many people were in front of him? How many people came from the opposition? Anyone know? Take a guess. Exactly. 100,000. The ratio was more or less 1 to 10. 1 to 10 was the ratio. And this was something that was very ajib, because they were thinking, how are we going to take these people on? The ratio is 1 to 10. So Tariq bin Ziyad, what he did was, he played a very smart move. He used a valley. And he placed his army inside that valley. And sometimes when people refer to this battle, they refer to this battle by the name of that valley. So Tariq bin Ziyad, he lowered his men into the valley. Now the purpose of lowering his men into the valley was to control how many people come and leave the valley. If you have 100,000 people, can 100,000 people enter into a valley? No, right? There's no space there. So now there are limited people who can come inside, maybe 6,000 at a time, maybe 5,000 at a time. So he was controlling how many people were going to come inside the valley. Once he controlled this, now the rest of it was in their hands. Because these were Berber African soldiers. These men, they knew how to fight. And they were fierce, you know, fearless individuals. They were fierce fighters and they were fearless people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, in the month of Ramadan, He proved to the people, He proved to mankind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decides to help a group of people, the number may be 12,000, the opposition may be 100,000, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nusra, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help of people is with people, Tariq bin Ziyad became victorious in that battle, and that was the first of many battles that were to follow. And this battle took place, as I mentioned, in 92nd year Hijri, in the month of Ramadan, on a Friday. Now after this battle was over, when the Muslims were victorious, this is where some scholars, they write that the European historians were shocked. How did the Spaniards lose that battle? They were 100,000, they had 12,000. So what they say is that the reason why they lost was because Tariq bin Ziyad took away from them all hope of life by burning their ships. So you know this whole idea of burning the ships? This is actually narrated in European, history? You won't find this a lot in Islamic history, right? So this is how they explain it. But we explain by saying that whether the incident is true or not, that had somewhat of a motivational effect if it was true, but ultimately how they were victorious was not through their strength, it was through the barakah of the month of Ramadan, it was through their iman, it was through their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written victory for them, and a nation that Allah has written victory for, no one can ever defeat those people. Tariq bin Ziyad then went on. Now, one point to mention here is that Musa bin Nusayr gave very clear instructions to Tariq bin Ziyad not to move forward. He said, after you're victorious in that battle, what should you do? Stay put. Don't move from there. The reason was because his army was how many people? 12,000. If he kept moving forward, what was left behind would be very, very weak. You guys understand that? Because if you're going to leave police behind to monitor the lands that you control, that means your army is going to be small. And if you take all of them with you, then there's no one to guard the lands that you've conquered from behind. But Tariq bin Ziyad, after he was victorious in the battle, he saw the pathway in front of him open. He saw there were other cities that were open, and he said, we just crushed 100,000. These people are terrified of us. Let's keep going. So he said Bismillah to his soldiers, and he used his firasa, he used his thought, and he kept going forward. He conquered a few more cities. Again, Musa bin Nusayr said, stop right now. But Tariq bin Ziyad saw the pathway was, it was open. So he kept going. Now Musa bin Nusayr, when he saw that he wasn't stopping, he brought an army and came to Andalus himself. And Musa bin Nusayr was conquering from one side, Tariq bin Ziyad was conquering from the other side. And just in a matter of a few years, the entire Andalus entered into the folds of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a victory which lasted for over hundreds and hundreds of years. Close to a millennium, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to rule that land. And great men came out of there. Great scholars came out of there. Not only did good scholars come out of there, many contributions to humanity were made from Al-Andalus. You know, today, when we do wudu, our wudu areas are very simple, right? There's a tap there, there's a seat there, that's the end of it. The Muslims in Spain were so advanced in their technology that till today, you will find in their books that were written over hundreds of years ago, they had created a special machine for wudu. There was a special machine they had made for wudu. You know, the European historians, they say that if a person sat on top of the mountains in Spain, in Al-Andalus, the Muslim Spain, if you sat on top of the mountain and you just observed from there, you would see that they had street lights in Al-Andalus. This was something that was unheard of. You know how we have street lights? This was unheard of. The entire Europe was in darkness at nighttime. When it was night, it was dark. But the Muslims had put street lights everywhere. And they describe it by saying that it was so beautiful, it looked like someone was wearing, it looked like the streets had a long necklace of pearls on. That's how they described it. They described the street lights like a necklace of pearls, that it was so beautiful, and it was all the light, all the streets were all enlightened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And literally, you know how I said, Tariq bin Ziyad came in 92nd year after Hijrah? This victory of Al-Andalus took place in 2.5 years. How many years? A simple 2.5 years. Now, after this was over, the Khalifa of the time, when he saw they had crossed Spain, basically they were about to hit France right now, the Khalifa of the time said, stop now. He said, I, as the Khalifa, give you the order to stop right now. Don't go any further. Because we don't have the army there, and you guys don't have the support there. If you keep going forward, if anyone ambushes you from behind, you're going to be in trouble. So he ordered them to stop. He then, to make sure they wouldn't go any forward, he pulled back Tariq bin Ziyad and Musa bin Nusayr. He pulled them both back. And after pulling them both back, the Khalifa of the time, he ordered Musa bin Nusayr to come to Hajj with him. And during the Hajj, that's when the Khalifa told him, from now on, we aren't going to push any forward on Europe. We're going to stop right there. That's where we're going to stop. And Musa bin Nusayr made dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He said, oh Allah, if it is written for me shahada, then give it to me. Otherwise, give me death in the city of your beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Musa bin Nusayr, he passed away in the city of Medina Munawwara. Now the big question is, what happened to Tariq bin Ziyad? The historians, when they talk about Tariq bin Ziyad, they talk about him that he was like a mystery man. No one knows of anything before him, before he became governor of Egypt. Was he even a slave of Musa bin Nusayr? Debated. Where was he from? He was a Berber. Which clan was he from? Who were his forefathers? Where did he come from? Did he have education? What was his background? Many scholars, many historians have no idea what his background was. All they know for sure is that he was a slave. And once the Khalifa pulled him back from the front line of Spain, after how many years was he at the front line? Maybe 3 years at tops. At the end of the 3 years, when the Khalifa pulled him back, what happened to him after that? Again, the historians say, we have no idea. Where did he go? Did he pass away in Spain? Did he pass away in Dimashq? Did he pass away in Hijaz? What happened to him after that? Was he a rich person? Was he a poor person? History has no idea what happened to Tariq bin Ziyad before and after. It was as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him just to conquer Spain. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him back. Until today, the scholars debate on where his grave is. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers the grave of Tariq bin Ziyad, Musa bin Nusayr, and all the soldiers who were in those armies with great reward. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability to learn from their example of the strength of their iman. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us strength of iman like that as well. And that Allah azza wa jalla grants us victory wherever we are in this blessed month of Ramadan. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.